Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Chans, co-founder of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it's our job to find the geniuses, the innovators, the movers and the shakers in the insurance industry, and to discern and deconstruct what they do to help you grow your agency faster. And I am especially excited about what I consider to be a special episode of the podcast because of the quality of the guest that I have. Paul Hawkins is the founder and CEO and president of Hawksoft, one of the premier agency management systems in the industry. As you will discover in this podcast, I've known Paul for 25 years. I knew him first as an agent, and then we discovered that I sold him his first trade show booth when I was the executive at the PIA on the West Coast. So I'm taking some credit for launching Hawksoft, though I deserve none. And I am quite certain I probably would have taken $200 or $300 for a trade show booth from anybody back in those days. Paul, to me, represents the best of what this industry has to offer. He's passionate about the independent insurance agency system. He loves agents. That is obvious from the conversation. He provides an ethic of caring about the customer that every business or agency can benefit from. And he has been a contributor to the direction of the industry as long as I've known him. I'm going to say a couple of words before we get started. One, an idea occurred to me. I get a lot of questions by email from listeners who would like me to just share my perspective on something that matters to them. Unfortunately, I don't always have the time to get back to everybody. I apologize for that. But what did occur to me is that I could add a one-question Q&A at the end of the podcast. If you're interested in that, email me. You can say, yeah, that would be interesting, or you could ask me a question. And we can try it. If it works and people listen, great. And if it's not interesting, that's good too. So just want to hear from you. Email me. Also, this morning put the, I think, final touches on my annual State of the Industry address. It's a little bit of a hefty document. So for those of you who are serious about being students of the industry, I'll send you a copy as soon as it comes back from design. Just let me know. Email me and ask for the State of the Industry report at michael@agencyrevolution.com. Now, one last word before we move on. Paul and I tried three phones before we settled on production. The quality of the audio is not as good as I would like it to be, but it's better than the first two options that we had. And however, the content is so good. Paul is so smart. He's so generous, and he's so insightful. I'm going to encourage you, listen in, lean in, pay attention to Paul Hawkins. So without further ado, it's my privilege and my honor to introduce you to my colleague and my friend, Paul Hawkins. Paul Hawkins, I'm so pleased that you agreed to have this conversation with me. Thank you so much. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well.
To set the stage for those who perhaps don't know you, Paul, you and I have known each other. I think we decided when we chatted yesterday that you and I have had a relationship and a friendship for 25 years in this industry.
That would be correct, yes.
And you told me that I first met you when you were an agent, not the founder and CEO of Hawksoft.
That's correct. Yeah, I would say I started off as a captive agent and then went independent side, and I went to a couple of the conferences that you put on with the PIA, and that was as part of that agency in Portland, and then started working on the program that I've essentially basically wrote later on, but I started it there at that agency.
And so, is it true that I sold you the first trade show booth that Hawksoft ever had?
That's correct.
Okay, so somewhere maybe in the Hawksoft headquarters, a plaque would be appropriate that Michael Jans gave the start to this entire thing. Okay, let's not exaggerate my importance here. All right, so Paul, let's get down to business. I have some questions for you. As we've established, you have been in the industry a long time as an agent and then as a service provider, as a vendor providing agency management technologies to insurance agents. Obviously, things have changed. And so my first question is, when you reflect on how the industry has changed, what do you think are the really big issues that are important to today's agent?
Well, I think difference is it's a different consumer than we had. They have different tools, they have different interests, they have different expectations, and they're the ones that have driven the change. And of course, behind that is all the technology that's changed, and that is what now these young people are using that. In fact, the grandmas and grandpas are even Facebooking and all of that stuff. And you know, back in the day when I was first an agent, the thing that kept us up at night was where our position in the Yellow Pages was going to be.
As I think we discussed recently, I once upon a time had a pretty popular report. I think it was called 21 ways to write a killer Yellow Pages ad, and it got really good results. And I could, when I was flying, if I was doing a gig somewhere or a keynote somewhere, I could open up the Yellow Pages in the hotel, and I'd go into the insurance section. I could see who were my guys, you know, who was following that method. And so that report's pretty much dead. Nobody's asked for it for a long, long time. So now, what do you think that means to the agent today? Consumer's changed.
I think the big thing is the change. It's ever-changing, and it's continuing to change. Change itself, and it's not just the speed of change, which is our insurance industry has been a very slow to change industry historically.
Right.
But now that speed of change has just gotten drastic, and it's not just the speed of the change, but it's the breadth of the change, the amount of change, the number of things changing. It's just really tough to even keep your mind wrapped around it now.
What do you say to an insurance agent? I mean, it seems to me perhaps life was simpler back in the day. That there was an insurance model that worked fairly reliably. That if you kept your head down and did the work, that there was always a fairly safe and stable position in the marketplace for an insurance agent. Now it seems that the requirements to be a successful insurance agent are different. What do you think, what does that mean to today's agent?
Well, the technology has changed so much, and the competition has changed. We didn't have, back in those days, online presence of these carriers that just do online.
Right.
And so now we have, as an independent agent, we have a nemesis up there, you know, a bunch of them that are trying to take our business away from us. And we have to provide those, as me, as a vendor, I have to help my agents, our agents in the independent agency channel, to have those same tools in order to survive and to thrive. The good news is that, you know, we watched some studies with ACT and
Right.
Augie and industry events like that, and they're doing surveys, and we found that, you know, it was like the day of the big box stores.
Right.
And I won't name any names there because I probably shouldn't, but you know who they are. And they were just, boy, they came out and they were just strong. And now we're seeing that that's going away. It's fading. People realize that it's still, the important thing is still relationships. And even with the insurance agents, the trend has changed.
Right.
We flattened out, and now we're starting to grow a little begin in the independent agency channel.
So when you look at all this change, are you optimistic or are you concerned?
I'm concerned, but yet I'm optimistic because as I just said, people have come to the realization that they still want relationships. And you're not going to get that any other way. You're going to get that from the independent agent. I love the independent agency channel. I am vehement about them. I'm passionate about them because a lot of these are family-owned businesses,
right.
With the core values that are strong, and it's what other people are looking for. In fact, when they said that it was changing, they said they tried to figure out why it was changing back, and they said, well, people realized that they wanted to buy from somebody that they liked their story.
Ah. And what do you think that means?
The connection.
Ah, okay.
You can make the personal connection. And we've got a lot of tools to do that now. It's still, it doesn't take away from the tools that we used years ago.
Right.
But it's a strengthening those tools and those same things. So a lot of ways to strengthen those relationships, to keep our name in front of them, and all the electronics and the digital culture, it all adds to that.
So, Paul, you know my bias about this relationship building and connecting. Obviously, I founded a software company that was intended to and is intended to facilitate that, to scale relationship. But aside from that, when you think about an insurance agent being in relationship with thousands and thousands of customers today and doing it, you know, doing that at scale and doing it efficiently, how do you see you've got thousands and thousands of customers, and I'm sure that you get to see some who are really thriving and get to compare those with those who are struggling. How do those who are really thriving, how do they deliver that relationship in a cost-effective way at scale?
Well, there's a lot of different ways, but it's the digital.
Uh-huh.
Digital presence that they have to have. Yes, the handshake still works, but being able to deliver the tools, digital tools out there, allowing that consumer to do things when they want to do them.
Right.
The consumer's different this day and age. Their expectations, they expect to come home from work after our brick and mortar is closed up, locked up, and they still want to be able to get at information and make changes and things like that. And so number one is we have to deliver that kind of stuff. We have to incent them to have those relationships. And one of my favorite people is an agency out of Seattle.
Yeah.
That does such a great job, Claudia McLean.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And she is one of the pros at this. And when she talks, I always tell her she's my EF Hutton. When she talks, I listen.
I've been listening to Claudia for about 25 years as well, and I think we've shared her as a client for a long, long time. So let's think back, and let's go back to the mid 90s or what have you. An insurance agent needed a certain skill set. I think they, you know, usually they needed to have pretty good business skills by then. I think by then we had seen the agency as an industry mature, become more professional, adopt things like agency management systems, Paul. And they probably needed to, you know, some fairly good technical skills as well as business skills. They needed to be good at insurance. Now, fast forward, here we are, 2018. It seems perhaps that today's agency leader, the agency principal, the agency owner needs some different skills. What do you think they are?
I think the main one is the skill of marketing.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a laydown for me, Paul. You're not getting any objection from me on that one. So, you know, I mean, take a Claudio or your best of the best, you know, the ones that you get exposure to where you say, wow, their book of business is really growing. In terms of practical terms, what do you think they do differently than the agent who is struggling? How do they communicate? What do they say?
I think there's a couple of different things. Number one, they track more things. They're real businessmen. They understand their business. In fact, the saying is they spend more time on their business than they do in their business.
Well said. Yeah. Okay.
They have to understand their customers. They have to understand. They're talking to their customers, finding out their needs. Working on those relationships, they have to have in their agency, if they're going to grow, they have to have a strong culture to get the agency all on the same page.
Right.
So that those customers can see that culture and they like their story. They like dealing with them.
Uh-huh.
Those are the ones that I find are successful. They're tracking what we call KPIs, key performance indicators. They're tracking why is it working, why isn't it working, those kind of things.
If you were going to suggest, like, here are three or four KPIs that every agency should pay attention to, what do you think they would be?
Well, they have to be, it's kind of like having a speedometer
right
in your car. You know, you watch your speed, you watch how many customers you have, how many customers you've lost, how many customers you've gained. And in doing that, and especially in those things, we also look at why did we lose them?
Right.
Why did we gain them?
Uh-huh.
Because the whys are really, really important on there, because now we got to figure out what's working and what's not working. Again, taking that 30,000-foot view of my agency and saying what's working, what's not working, and being a student of the industry. And that's one of the other things that I really think, in order to, for that agent to get to the next level, he has to be involved in the industry. There are so much out there that they can do. They can't just, like you said before, they can't just sit with their head down. They have to have their head up, and they've got to be involved in the industry and involved in their community. And the community being, we're all part of many different communities.
Right.
Part of that insurance industry community.
So, Paul, I know that you're active in the industry. You're not just head down in Canby, Oregon, running Hawksoft. And so, not unlikely that if I'm going to an industry, at least a large industry conference or convention, a meeting for ACT, Agents Council for Technology, Paul Hawkins is going to be there, right?
Absolutely.
And sometimes I think we'll notice that it seems like, gosh, there are more vendors here than there are agents at the, you know, at a meeting that really is designed to support the agency channel. Maybe that's appropriate, maybe not. But, what do you want to say to the agent community about perhaps, you know, where they should be involved and how they should get this knowledge and information and training and networking that you think is so important?
Well, I have a little saying that, you know, and it has to do with my own competitors.
Right.
I'm part of a vendor council.
Yeah.
Vendor council. There's 10 of my competitors and I on this council. We meet quarterly, and we take off our industry hats, our company hats.
Right.
Put on our industry hats, and we say, guys, we've got to make this better for our agencies, for the independent agency channel.
Right.
If we don't, we are all out of work.
So I realize that is, a closed door meeting, but there must be a theme some key areas of concern that arise in that group.
Yeah, and so much of it is, what's the next technology that we're going to have to deliver?
Yeah.
In order to keep, in order to keep the independent agent on par with the nemesis that they are dealing with in this day and age.
Paul, you're obviously an advocate for the independent insurance agency system, which I think, doesn't necessarily say that other channels are bad.
No.
Other channels must not be too bad if millions of consumers want to and continue to do business with them. They're not perfect, but then again, neither is ours. What makes the independent agency channel different? What do you think its inherent strength is that it should play on? And then my next question is will be, what do you think it should avoid? What should we do, and what should agents not do because it's a poor use of resources?
Well, I think the thing that the independent agency channel provides,
yeah,
is number one, personality, and that relationship, and it's the relationship, it's a trusted relationship of what's, that consumer needs to say, hey, I've got questions, and I got to ask those questions to somebody that I trust.
Got it. Do you think that agents should be more, let's say, proactive, more insistent on better, higher, fuller protection for their customers than they are?
In many cases, yeah. We talked before about all these different agencies, and one of the things that I find about the agency is every agent.
Yeah.
Some of them are more or less, talking about those kind of things. Some of them are just, there's still those out there that are the old school, and I have a little quip about that.
Right.
There are some of those that still aggressively sit by the phone waiting for it to ring.
Right, okay.
And so... they are being acted upon, and the agent of this day, in order to thrive and move forward, they have to be proactive. They have to be out there doing things. They have to be, and I like to call it mining their own gold mine, because they've got these customers, and these customers, their number one job is to protect that customer, to keep them in a financial shape so they don't get ruined.
Got it.
And I teasingly tell people, they talk about claims, and we don't want claims. I says that's the business we're in.
Right.
We're in the business to pay claims, to put people back whole again.
So I'm going to pose this as an ethical question, okay? Is it appropriate for, and I'm not other channels, not the direct channel, not the emerging digital channel, but for the agency channel, is it appropriate for an agent to allow customers to select minimum protection when we know that it's very, very likely not enough? Is it appropriate for the agent of today to allow customers not to purchase, this policy or that policy when in the real world they probably should? Where do you think that comes down as an ethical issue?
Wow. That is a tough question, because there's such a fine line there between trying to oversell something,
right?
And, you know, especially in the consumer's view of us. And I think, though, that as we build those relationships, then if we have built that relationship,
right,
then we are able to do those kind of things and really sit down with that person and say, hey, here's the reason why. Now, it is up to the consumer.
Okay, but ultimately,
to
do what you just said, offer a compelling reason why.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got to teach them and give them the reasons why, otherwise we haven't done our job. As long as we've done that, then we're okay.
Okay. So on the flip side, if an agency really does the job that you're talking about and creates that depth of relationship with the customer that I think ultimately is the promise of the agency channel, what do you think, what is the experience? What would a really fully satisfied independent insurance agency customer say about their agent or their agency?
I think the number one is that they trust them.
Uh-huh.
That's the most important part of that relationship, is the
trust relationship. I trust that guy. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the other one is, again, going back to why they buy from you in the first place, is I like you.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So that connection with that story.
Yeah.
And that's where everybody is different, because everybody does have a different story.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's important. You know, I look at a couple airlines, and, you fly on a couple different airlines, and you realize that even the flight attendants are totally different.
Right.
I have asked.
Uh-huh.
Because customer service is really big for me.
Right.
That's one of the most important things that we deliver in with our business. And I talked to them. I said, do you know your company's story? Because I've looked it up. I know their story.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
And the one airline that it is just always not fun to fly on, those people have no idea what their story is. And the other one that is just always fun and always pleasant.
I'll bet I know which one you're thinking of.
Southwest.
Southwest, okay, right. Because they have a great story, and you're right. I think they know the story, and they continue to tell that.
That's right.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, for instance, one of the things, I'm not trying to draw attention to myself, but what one of my people, what they talk about, one of the things they talk about is the fact that every one of my employees has a handmade desk.
I know. I know.
And my customers somehow have all gotten to know that.
Well,
because my people talk about that.
Yeah. Well, it is fairly remarkable. I can't think of any other company that I've ever done business with where the CEO has made everybody's desk, and you made a lot of desks.
Yeah.
So that is a segue to my next and almost last question, but it is a segue to my next question. Paul, you've been very successful as an entrepreneur. Right? We've come a long way since the day Michael Jans sold you a trade show booth probably in, I'm guessing, maybe Sun River, Oregon or Salishan or something like that, right? And I've been to your, wasn't that long ago, where I was in your shop, and I saw not only a lot of desks, but a lot of people who, you know, are pretty passionately and energetically delivering a service to an industry you care about. So when you reflect back on the success of your career, and I know, Paul, you are like the humblest guy I know. So I know I'm not asking you to brag. I'm just asking you to be objective. What do you think? What are the characteristics or traits or behaviors do you think were so important or central to your success as an entrepreneur?
One of the guy that I, this, my second boss in the insurance industry, Bob Bloom.
Okay.
Was and I think you know Bob.
I know Bob, right?
Yeah. And when I was starting my business, I was working for him.
Right.
And he told me, Paul, one of the most important things that you're going to do, that you need to do, is surround yourself with good people.
Uh huh.
And I that is one thing I can say I have accomplished. I have great people, and we have a strong core values, and a strong company culture. We have fun in our company, and yet we're hardworking and we have fun. One of our Hartsoft user group president, she was telling a story at our last user group meeting. And she said, it's fun to call Hawksoft because I can call at 5 o'clock their time. And when that customer service person picks up the phone, it seems like that's the first call they've taken for the day.
Outstanding. That's okay. I'm not surprised. So, Paul, if you were going to say one thing, like one sentence, that you wanted to say, like a message that you feel that the independent insurance agency system needs to hear, what do you want to say?
Innovation.
Yeah. Okay. Forget one sentence. One word. Innovation.
One word. Yeah. Because the old idea that if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
Is gone. We have to be moving. We have to accelerate change. We have to accept change. We have to be hungry for change, and that's the only way that we're going to move forward, and especially in this day and age.
Many years ago, Paul, Peter Drucker said the two most important things in business are marketing and innovation. Everything else is expense, and you hit on both of them in this conversation. So great minds, perhaps, think along the same track. Paul, if people want to reach out to you or if they want to learn more about Hawksoft, how do you want them to do that?
We've got a lot of information and a lot of contact information on our website.
Okay.
Hawksoft.com.
Right.
And it tells our story. There's an interesting story about how we got started, my sons and I. And
right. You your sons in a trade show booth that I sold you.
Right, that's right.
Okay. And so they could visit your website, hawksoft.com. Anything else?
Well, you know, I'm always open to visits at our office.
Okay, I know that.
An agent
right.
wants to come by, and we love to talk to agents. I love talking to agents. My contact information is on my website.
Got it. Okay.
They can email me. They can call me. You know, I am always open. That's the thing that I'm most passionate about. I love talking to these agents.
Paul, you've been, as always, generous, very generous with your time and kind to share some time with us. So thank you very, very much. And, of course, congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking Media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.